Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, same old, same old. When the Bills were playing the Patriots of last night, as you heard right here on the Zone, the Bills beat the Patriots. You also heard Creighton and Texas basketball. And you're going to hear a Football Friday ahead of a Championship Friday and Saturday in college football. And a really, really good slate in the NFL. Good morning to all of you. Good morning, Ravi.
Good morning. How are you?
You and I both are part of the big NFL weekend. You have the Niners and the Dolphins, and I have the Chiefs and the Bengals.
I think you have a better shot this week.
Ooh.
I think, I mean,
you're on four straight. You scored over 30 or the Dolphins have scored over 30 or more. I mean, I like your chances this weekend.
I don't dislike our chances. I just think that the Dolphins are better than the Bengals at this point.
Oh, gotcha.
This is more about the opponents.
We got revenge on our mind. We've been building up to play the Bengals since last year.
Does that feel weird to say? been building up to play the Bengals.
Well, they're going to be one of the top teams in the AFC as long as Joe Burrow is there, and they've gotten better in the last couple of weeks. I mean, their offensive line is better.
They struggled to start the year,
even without Chase, but they still have Joe Burrow, and we still have memories of last year. And Trent McDuffie was drafted for games like this, so. We'll see. I like the slate in the NFL. I like the slate in the NFL much more than I like the slate on Championship Friday and Saturday in college football.
Yeah, I mean, if you're correct in how you feel about the college football playoff, there's not a lot at stake after tonight.
Now, that's the game we're watching.
Yeah.
If Utah beats USC, and, I mean, USC could lose two in a row to Utah. That'd be a heck of a feather in the cap of Kyle Whittingham. Then chaos could happen.
I do love Kyle Whittingham. I'm a big. I wish he was like 55.
Was he
62?
Yeah, he's 62.
Might not have to do this for a while. Might be good.
Might not have to do what? Buy another coach?
Get coaches and talk about coaches?
No, see, I like all coaching searches. It's not Nebraska specific. So whenever another big job comes open, I just get right back onto my list and I'm like, who's a good fit here?
We will discuss because there is some intrigue that may happen in Boulder over the weekend with their head coaching job. And remember, Nebraska plays at Colorado week two.
They do.
How would you like Matt Rhule's first two games at Nebraska are against P.J. Fleck and Deion Sanders?
Incredible. You're talking about polar opposite personalities with P.J. Fleck and Deion Sanders, and then with Matt Rhule and Deion Sanders. Incredible. Just, I'm here for it. Give me fun coaching matchups.
So reportedly, Deion is down to Cincinnati and Colorado. What a huge boost that would be for the Colorado program. High school talent in the state of Colorado, which if you recruit in there would be a little bit scary because there'll be kids that go, I'll look at Coach Prime. It'd be a huge thing for the Pac-12. No idea if it would work or not.
Yeah.
But initially, just think of the boost that Colorado would get having Deion Sanders as the coach when none of us were putting him attached to that job. Now, I say sometimes the best job that you have is the best job. So I wonder. But if you're Colorado, you can't go down the road of Deion has kind of played with you this week, it seems, in interviews and talking about Colorado, and then all of a sudden, you know, leave you at the altar.
Yeah, it's... I don't know if Deion has played with them. I think he's been dramatically more open about his process than most coaches are, which I kind of appreciate. He's not pretending like any of this isn't happening. And so I appreciate that about him. It does seem like Jackson State's a really, really good fit for Deion. So I don't know how his program or how he operates will translate. What I will say is if he wants to take a shot at a higher level coaching job, now is probably the time.
Yeah.
Because he can bring, can he bring Travis Hunter with him? Can he bring his son, the incredible quarterback, with him? I would imagine his kid probably goes with him. I'm not as sure about Travis Hunter. I would imagine Travis Hunter probably leaves Jackson State. I don't know if he goes to Colorado.
Yeah, so we could have a heck of a storyline week two of the football season next year between Nebraska and Colorado.
And Colorado needs something.
And I will say, I said this
on, a lot of fun.
On Twitter last night.
That game's already a tough ticket.
Well, it's because Colorado doesn't want Nebraska people to come, right? Isn't that
well,
part of the deal?
Like Nebraska fans have, I mean, we're, that game's not until, what, September 9th?
I think so, yeah.
The hotels in Boulder are sold out.
Wow.
Like already? A lot of Nebraska fans booked ahead of time to go to Colorado. Oh, it'll be another sea of red out there.
Well, that'll be good. That'll be a nice atmosphere. Nice rude awakening for Coach Prime.
Yeah, the first two games next year, there'll be a lot of Nebraska fans in the stands.
As well, there should be. Those are nice, easy road trips.
They will travel well to Minneapolis on a holiday weekend, and then they will go like they did last time and like they always have to Colorado. And Deion Sanders will make some crack about Nebraska if he's at CU about keeping the red out, and it'll be kind of fun.
All right.
I hope it happens. We need that. We need more fun, because I don't know that yesterday in the Nebraska football world was a...
was not a particularly fun day.
Wasn't a fun day.
No,
it wasn't a fun day. It was a newsy type day.
It was a newsy
day. But I wouldn't
day.
Consider it a... I think there have been better days surrounding Nebraska football than yesterday, and you hope that there are better days on the horizon. Yesterday wasn't a good day.
I would say Monday was more fun.
I liked Monday.
You know, Tuesday wasn't bad.
Wednesday
actually was okay.
Well, you had the day off Tuesday, so that was nice.
Yeah. But still, there was a lot of stuff going on. You had a reaction. Wednesday was okay.
Wednesday wasn't bad. Yesterday wasn't fun.
Yeah. No, wait. Wednesday was not a good day. I had to put my days here. I lost a day not being here. Wednesday was not a good day.
What happened Wednesday?
Yeah, not a good day. Not a good day.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
not a good day.
It started okay.
So instead of stacking good days, we're stacking bad days.
Yes, we need to stop doing that.
We will get to everything that happened with Nebraska football yesterday, because today is kind of an important day, because the Nebraska coaching staff, the new coaching staff, can be out on the road and they can recruit and re-recruit. So we will get into from Malachi Coleman to Ernest Hausman and everything in between. On a good lineup, on a football Friday, a championship weekend, Brett Cianci of Pick 6 Previews will join us at 7:30. Lee Sterling is on a heater. He'll join us at 7:55. Mike Sauter stops by. Last night was the first night of the winter sports season. Shot clocks, lopsided scores, buzzer beaters, some interesting results. Some teams that, you know, they had a good portion of their roster played football late into the year. So they're going to be adjusting. So we'll get Mike's thoughts coming up at 8:30. Mike Schaefer as well. And then Matt Verzal will stop by. The lineup is always brought to you by the roofies of John Higgins Weather Guard. But last night also on the zone, Creighton and Texas basketball. Didn't you think as that game was unfolding, Robbie, the discussion we had yesterday about this matchup, kind of, it we were like spot on, I believe.
Yeah, I think we did.
I don't think either coach and, you know, Creighton was abysmal from beyond the arc. Texas didn't shoot well. Texas only turned the ball over three times, which when I went back and looked at the box score, I'm like, whoa, that's got to be one of the lowest totals with a Chris Baird team, is they only turned it over three times. But I think both teams, both coaches wake up this morning and they've already dived into the film, is from like Mac's perspective, okay, you're a little frustrated because you didn't shoot the ball well until Shireman got going late. And a lot of your misses, especially...
wide open.
And they weren't even close.
No.
Which was a little bit disturbing. But you found a way at times to get stops and make some shots that allowed you to make the last couple of minutes interesting, but frustrating from the point of, man, you got to play 40 minutes. And you got to be consistently good. And you had splashes of, okay, that's who we are. And then the shooting was off all night. And you couldn't overcome that. So... that's the way to look at that. I would say Mac's going a little frustrated because that was a game, even not on our B-plus game, we were in and we had a shot if we would have been able to make some shots. Now, if I'm Chris Baird, I think I look at that game, and first of all, that's a quality win for Texas, so they got that on their ledger.
Mm-hmm.
And I also say, man, we missed an opportunity to turn this into blowout city because they had opportunities to run that game away from Creighton, especially when Creighton was not shooting well. And they weren't able to make shots on their own. Now, Carr wasn't great, but when he had to make a shot last night, when they needed something, when the game was kind of, okay, now it might be a tension convention, he made a shot. But that's how I think both coaches look at it. And, you know, they adjust, and we'll see you in March. They don't, that game, when we get to March, I don't know how much that'll mean.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like the Arizona game in that sense, right, where it means more that you played them than it does anything else. Like, hey, this, it helps with the strength of schedule. I mean, Creighton can look back. They'll have quality wins against Arkansas, Texas Tech. They'll probably get some quality wins in conference play as well. So I don't know how – like, obviously you'd rather win, but in terms of – like, I don't think this is going to – neither one of these teams is going to be on the bubble, I don't think, right?
No.
So this is – doesn't matter there. Maybe it bumps you down a seed line or up a seed line if you're Texas versus or Creighton here based on winning or losing. I will say – so I almost felt like there had to be something going on with, like, the sight lines of the building. Because that's a new arena, and I haven't been inside, and I was trying to get a hold of somebody I thought was there, but they didn't end up going. I the way they were missing, it felt like something was happening with the sight lines of the building, whether it was the depth perception mm-hmm. or maybe it was weird in the corners, because you get that sometimes, especially in some of these buildings that you haven't been in before. Because I mean, there were like half a dozen air balls, which is really weird.
Yeah.
I don't think that's defense related. I mean, I've been watching Creighton for 20 plus years at this point. I'm not sure I've ever seen that many air balls in a game.
Yeah, it was startling.
And they weren't, a lot of them weren't heavily guarded when they airballed either. Like, mm-hmm. There almost had to be something going on with the sight line. It's kind of like when they go and play at Hinkle, they almost never shoot well because the sight lines in that building are a little different mm-hmm. because of how the court's oriented. And listen, not an excuse, like, Creighton lost. It's fine. Like, I'm, you know, not trying to be like, oh, well, if the Texas has built a real stadium, I don't care. That's not what I'm saying here. It just, the way that the misses looked, it felt like there had to be something else going on rather than just an off night, because we've seen them have an off night, and it doesn't look like that. That being said, if they go 9 for 27 from 3 instead of 4 of 27 from 3, they win this game pretty comfortably. Because, and that's what, 33%? Not crazy. That's not a crazy mm-hmm. number. It's a little better than they were last year. It's a little worse than they are this year. They went 4 for 27. Creighton's not going to win very many games doing that. That's just not against good teams, right? They can survive a 4 for 27 against, like, Georgetown maybe, but they're not surviving that against the number two team in the country. The fact that they're even in this game shooting the ball like that, I mean, that to me says as much about this team as it really anything. I mean, it's a true road game. You can't shoot the ball at all, and it was still a one-possession game with under a minute left. Like, you take that, and you give yourself a shot. Obviously, it didn't work out the way I wanted them to, but I thought their game plan for Texas offensively was really good in terms of, you know, yes, Carr got a little bit, but he had 19 points on 20 shots. You'll take that. Mm-hmm. Like, you'll take that exchange all day. Tyrese Hunter had 15 points on 15 shots. You'll take that. Absolutely all day.
Yeah, whether combined, their guards were 14 of 35. Is that right?
Yeah, 14 of 35 for 34 points. Yeah. So you had 34 points on 35 shots. If you're Creighton, you won. Like that, you won. You got exactly what you needed to out of that inefficient scoring out of the backcourt. That's why Creighton was in the game. Texas never shoots the ball particularly well from three. They were 30% on the season coming in against not very good competition. It makes sense that it went down a little bit against a better defense. So I think Creighton did a really good job executing their defensive game plan. They just couldn't make any shots.
There's a couple of things about last night as well, because I keep thinking about our conversation. What was it after St. Thomas, or was it after maybe the first
the Nembhard conversation?
Yeah,
yeah.
And then you watch him last night when it was time to put the ball in his hand.
Yeah, no,
and
that conversation was kind of aged poorly.
But they were kind of like everybody on that team, and essentially Creighton basketball is the starting five.
Yes,
I mean that's a major concern.
Zero bench points.
That's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be a problem moving forward.
Huge
and a couple
problem.
Of those guys off the bench are just not giving you anything. Either they're passing up wide open threes, or when they come in the game, they can't turn the ball over and they turn the ball over. So essentially, Creighton basketball right now is their starting five.
Mm-hmm.
So you go through the gamut of, okay, you start with Kalkbrenner and how they're going to defend him, and he gets going early. And then I thought Art Kaluma was in the flow. He didn't try and force things last night.
He was better than he had been.
He was better than he was in Maui. He was more consistent last night. So, but then in crunch time, they put the ball in the hands of Nembhard, like we saw in Maui, and he absolutely took over.
Yeah.
I mean, you couldn't take him off the floor. I mean, it is pretty noticeable when Ryan Nembhard now this season is off the floor.
He's going to have to play 40 minutes a night most nights. I mean, that's just you might be able to steal 30 seconds per half with him, but what we thought was, and I'm still looking out for this. I don't know if we're going to see it because I don't know that Mac is going to do this to Sharif. I would like to see some Ben Stolzberg backup point guard minutes.
I agree with you. It's when do you find that game to have an experiment?
Nebraska.
I mean, you're running into, okay.
No, you got to do it pretty soon.
Yeah, you can't do it last night.
No, you got to do it pretty soon.
But you got to figure that out because I'm with you. I mean, Sharif's on a struggle bus right now.
He's bringing nothing to the table for Creighton, at least offensively. He still defends at a high level, and that's awesome. But if
you got to take care of the basketball.
He's got to take care of the basketball. And Creighton, as a team, only had 8 turnovers last night. Texas came in forcing 20 turnovers, so I thought that was a positive for Creighton. And 3 of them were Kalkbrenner, where he just got doubled. Your big man's going to turn the ball over some when you dump it to the post. That's just a thing that happens. But I think they're going to have to start experimenting with either like Trey as your point guard again or Ben Stolzberg as
By the way, they made him, man, he had a fight through screens all night long.
He did, yeah.
They made Trey Alexander work on one end of the floor nonstop.
Yeah, and it showed on the other end of the floor. He was 0 for 8 from the field. That's going to be the worst game he has all year, probably. You know, and if you get anything out of Trey, again, you probably win. If you shoot even below average from 3 instead of horrifyingly bad from 3, you win. You know, so there's a lot of things you look at and you're like, for not playing super awesome, Creighton was right there. Nembhard played awesome. Even then, not hyper efficient, 17 points on 16 shots. The only guy that I look at and say, man, that guy was awesome last night was Kalkbrenner. 20 points, 13 rebounds. Nembhard was probably one of the most important guys because when he was out, their offense was terrible. And you're going to have to, I think you're going to have to look at Ben Stolzberg point guard minutes at some point because you're not getting anything out of Sharif. You're not getting anything out of Farabello. Mm-hmm. And unless you're okay with Trey playing 40 minutes a game instead of Nembhard playing 40 minutes a game, you're going to have to find a different solution at point guard. And the only guy left is Stolzberg, right?
Yep.
And he's a little bit bigger, a little more offensive-minded. I know Mac probably isn't going to want to deal with the defensive growing pains of a true freshman at that spot, but it's better than completely bogging down your offense for 4, 5, 6 minutes at the time just so Ryan Nembhard can breathe a little bit. He's going to have to figure something out because the bench production is horrifying. And I also don't totally understand some of his rotations, especially in the first half where he's bringing 3 bench guys in at a time.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't make any sense to me. Mason Miller looks okay when he's in with starters. You can buy Mason Miller minutes with starters. You can't do it if he's one of 3 bench guys in the game.
I agree.
Like, that's not something that is sustainable at all. Because when he was playing with starters in Maui,
he was looked really good. He looked like
a starter.
Yeah.
Like, that dude can play. He can't carry a second unit. There's a difference there. And so I think Mason Miller is probably their best shot for consistent bench production, but you have to use him correctly. You can't put him out there with Fred King and Sharif Mitchell. That's a problem because they don't respect Fred King right now, and that's fine. He's a true freshman who's really raw, and Sharif Mitchell can't get an offense going. So if you're going to maximize anything out of your bench, you got to get Mason Miller in there with starters.
I just showed you last night when you play a team like Texas and 2 high-level teams, I mean, you got to be dialed in for 40 minutes, and you need all 5 of your stars to be stars in a game like that. It wasn't an eye-appealing game.
No.
But I think both coaches are going to wake up this morning and have different feelings about, again, I think Texas looks at it and go, we had an opportunity to blow this game out, and we could never pull away and make a shot where you get it to double figures, and then it goes from 11 to 14, and then you're feeling really good. And then Creighton is, you're not going to have many nights where you're 4 of 27 from 3. I don't care if the arena is odd or the wind is in the arena, whatever.
You're not. Yeah.
You're just not going to have that, and it affected their entire game.
But it was the kind of game you guys talked about yesterday that it would be.
That's just ugly. And that's a Texas-type game.
It is, and that's why I don't like Chris Beard. Like, he's a really good coach, but just for my preference of how to watch basketball, I don't like Chris Beard teams because they don't play pretty basketball, right? Texas Tech still has a lot of that DNA. They make it really ugly to go out and play them. Don't like particularly watching Texas Tech games, but... Yeah, I don't think if you're Creighton, you walk away from last night feeling bad. You feel like maybe you missed an opportunity, but I don't think you feel bad about who you are as a team. I think you're like, hey, there's a couple things we really have to figure out. Bench production, backup point guard minutes, things like that. But in general, I think you walk away saying like, Baylor Shireman's not going 3 of 13 probably ever again in his life.
No.
Right? Like, that's just it. He missed his first nine. That is what it is. Like,
it was
you
wild.
You just accept that, like, hey, yeah, it was one of those nights. I don't think you feel worse about your chances for all the other things.
Yeah, this is on December 1st.
Yeah, it's December 1st. I think you feel the same way basically you did about the Arizona game. We can hang with the best teams in the country. We missed an opportunity here. It doesn't change how I feel about who we are as a team.
Big day around here today, by the way, because in our parking lot at 50th and Capitol, essentially 50th and Dodge, it is our Stuff the Truck event. We've done this for as long as I've been here, and it is a great event that we team up with the Toys for Tots folks, JTech Construction and Solar. Today in our parking lot from 10 until 6, and the weather is really nice right now.
Yeah, it's going to be nice for
most
of the
day. Yeah, cooperating pretty well, yeah.
Now, the guys on TV this morning were telling me that at 3, it's going to be windy and weather's going to change. But we've had colder days. Last year, I remember, it was like 15 degrees, and we still had a huge turnout. So where we're at, it's a new location this year. We're right here at the radio station. So Stuff the Truck from 10 a.m. to 6 today, and then tomorrow from 11 to 4, your favorite personalities of NRG Media will be out there. So we're asking you can help a child in need experience the joy of opening a gift this season. Donate a new unwrapped toy right here at 50th and Dodge, 50th and Capitol. For older people that still stop by here and want to pay their Cox cable bill, we're in the Cox building. Hasn't been the Cox building for like, what, 15 years?
At least.
20 years, something like that?
It's at least 15 years.
But we will open up the truck beginning at 10. We go until 6, and then tomorrow from 11 to 4. So it's a big deal here. It's one of the events that we really, really enjoy as we get back this holiday season with all of you. And you guys have been great, fantastic over the years that we've been doing it. So today is our Stuff the Truck event. Begins at 10 in the parking lot. We are not outside broadcasting. I was wondering why. I pulled up and I thought, man, we're going to be outside. Because they got food trucks here. They're like, it's a big old party going to happen in our parking lot.
Yeah, I might have to grab myself a chili dog.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, I didn't know that. There's going to be
that.
Food.
Kelly's food truck is out there. You know what this is going to cause, though? Man, can you imagine what the traffic's going to be like right here on Dodge?
Oh,
like
a
rush hour today?
Yeah.
People are going to be pulling in here to drop off a toy and backed up. People be swearing at NRG Media for the traffic backup. And there's always, every other day, there's an accident right here.
Oh, yeah. Our yoga friends are going to get blocked into their parking spots. It's going to be a disaster. Yeah. A beautiful disaster, though.
Ah, see what you did there.
Well played. All right, you have the lineup, and you know now to go and get a unwrapped toy and bring it here to the station over the next 2 days. We'll talk about there is the giveth and the taketh away of the portal. We're now into portaling season. We've been around this for a bit. Some people, this is going to ruin their experience about being a college football fan. For others, you get it. You're going to lose players, but you're also going to gain players.
Mm-hmm.
But you also have to gain some patience and understanding with what happened yesterday and what will happen over the next couple of days before chaos erupts around college football beginning December 5th. It is giveth and it is taketh away, and sometimes you have to ask the question, why? And remember, you can put your name into the portal. You put your right foot into the portal. You put your left foot out. You take your right foot back out, and you're back on your team.
Maybe.
Or you do the portal hokey pokey. I say the hokey. Jeez, it's too early. Hokey
it's 6
pokey.
O'clock.
Yes. I got that accent.
It's
like I've been hit in the head.
The Iowa accent?
No, it's not the Iowa accent, just because they do the hokey pokey. Shout out to rest in peace, Aiden Fry. There's some words now that I pronounce with my East Coast accent.
We were talking East about Boston
Coast
yesterday.
Oh, okay. Pops.
There you go. Okay.
There's some words that he's got the East Coast accent a little bit, and so I've got some of that.
You know, they've had things that have happened where somebody suffers a traumatic brain injury, and then they speak up with a totally foreign accent. Have you heard about that?
I have.
It's one of the most wild things about the human brain. It's like there's stuff in there that you know. People have woke up speaking different languages before. Mm-hmm. It's like they hit the wrong button on their phone and it's in Japanese. Like all of a sudden their brain just knows Japanese. That's the wildest thing to me, because it's like, I never put Japanese in there.
Yeah.
How did that get in there? But your brain's just like, nah, you're Japanese now, man. If there's any proof that we're living in a simulation, it's stuff like that. Like you just get hit in the head and all of a sudden you speak Japanese. How does that make any sense?
Wake up from a coma?
Yeah, it's like, oh, no, that's a glitch in the Matrix.
You see people in the room, you recognize, and you go, oui. Je m'appelle Gary.
Au fil de mon.
6:32. Brett Ciancia joins us in an hour. There's Ravi, Jimmy. I'm Gary. It's 1620 The Zone.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.